You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
What produces joy? The place of God, the church. The church. Jesus gave his life for the church. I know I've hammered this till you're so tired of hearing it, but out of the 385,000 churches in America, I cannot understand why they're all closed on Sunday night. If Jesus gave his life for the church, why would we not want to be at the house of God? And tonight, the place of God, I love verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I see you young couples up here in our class, and I'm thinking, I was thinking about on Wednesday. You've been at your kids, you fought traffic, you got them to school, you fought traffic, you got them home from school, you got them ready for church. They're in the children's program tonight. You're up here in these balconies, and everywhere I see you. And you know, that's wonderful, parents. God bless you. But life is busy. But don't you have, as they do and as you do, apparently you do, don't you? I have a love to go to God's house. Amen. And in life, the older you get, the more you hang on to it. I don't want to end missing church on a Wednesday night. I don't want to end missing church on Sunday night. I don't want to end not going to Sunday morning. I don't want to end not going in Sunday school. As much as I can, so much the more. I want more of church, not less of church. I want more of our singing. I want more of the choir on Sunday. 120-some voices and a huge orchestra here, an orchestra. I long for that. I long to see up in the balcony and the lower floor, those ushers coming down here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I long for that. And to see them receiving the offering and all, I just love it. I love hearing you sing. I love right now just hearing you read the Bible, just hearing you read. I love the prelude. I love the offertory. I love the special, those young teenagers up here singing. Cousins, what a blessing that was. And what a blessing to hear Mrs. Simmons sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. I long for church. I love church. I want to do more, not less for church. I want to find out what I can do. I want to pray for it more. I want to be involved in it more. And I believe that I'm pastoring a church where God's people are in this thing. I look back at my life, and I never knew the church I was born into. But I was born, and Pastor Dr. Coonley was the pastor. Dr. Coonley was one of the big, big names in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of the GRB movement, a great Bible scholar, a great Bible teacher. And he took me and my twin sister and held us in his arms. And Dr. Coonley dedicated my mother and dad to raise us for God and keep us in church. You know, when my mother died, she gave me, and I'm talking about my parents again. When my mother died, she gave me all my report cards from kindergarten all the way through college. I didn't know she had those. And my graduation program from high school, just a shoebox, things she had. And she had there a postcard. And I'm not going to tell you how many years ago when it was dated, but I think the postage stamp for the postcard, I think, was a penny. And it has dated when it was. I was less than 12 months old, and for some reason, I missed the cradle roll. And it said, we miss Jack in the cradle roll nursery. To think that she kept that, well, let's see, what am I? She kept that 38 years, or whatever I am. You know, I'm glad someone helped me in the nursery at Garfield Avenue Baptist Church and cared for me. I was probably the worst kid in the nursery, squalling, upset, but God in time raised me up to be a preacher of the gospel. They were holding a preacher in their hand. And we don't know in our nursery what you're holding. And from Garfield Avenue, we moved to California, and there wasn't my home church over here yet. It didn't begin until 1954. But in 1953, we went to a church over here. It was the old Washington School, not that big Washington High School where I graduated, just the old Washington School built in the 1800s, a little before before Abraham Lincoln. And they abandoned that school. I remember going to that church. And I can remember sitting next to my dad, and I misbehaved. I'll get to some scripture. I misbehaved. And he said, "I'm taking you out." And all of a sudden, he says, "Come on, son." And we walked out, and he took me back to a tree. I stood under that tree, and he said, "You're misbehaving in the house of God." And he spanked me. And we went back. There was wooden steps and two wooden doors, and you're right in the auditorium, which was the schoolroom. And we walked right back in. We sat down. You know, Brother Dennis Moore, mortician in our church, he owns the funeral parlors over there. And I was at one of the funeral parlors probably 25 years ago having a funeral. And I said, "Sir," the man that owned it at the time, I said, "You're not going to believe this, but this property, I pulled in here, I pulled back there, this property feels familiar to me." And I said, "When I was a boy, I want to say somewhere around here, there was a schoolhouse. I don't see it. But I said, when I parked back there, I said, I know you're not going to believe that. That tree looked familiar. I just know that tree." And he laughed and he spun around. He had a credenza and he pulled out. He said, "Was this the building?" I've got a picture of that building, by the way. I said, "That's the building. That's the tree. My dad whipped me right back there at that tree." You know, that church was short-lived. It closed its doors. My mom and dad found another church that opened up, Calvary Baptist Church in Fremont. And that became our church. My twin sister eventually married the pastor's only son. They've been married 54 or 5 years now. You know, I'm thankful for church. For just a brief time, we left our church in Fremont and moved over to Stockton. Because my dad went in this ministry, this hearing aid business, because he was deaf, 90% deaf. And he bought this, and the business went under. But we went to Calvary Baptist Church in Stockton. Dr. John R. Siemens was our pastor. Oh, what a church. What a sweet, white-haired, combed-backed, dignified man. I got baptized there outside in a baptistry. And we moved back, tried to get back to our church, but couldn't make it. It was too expensive at that time. We went to Huntwood Baptist Church in Hayward for a little while. Brother Manley, you would know where that is. And then we went from Huntwood to back to our home church. I went to college, and I was involved with 5 churches in college. Our college didn't have a church, but I went to Calvary Baptist Church in Watertown, and then I went to Calvary Baptist Church in Jefferson, and then I began to serve the Lord, Calvary Baptist Church in Platteville, Wisconsin, and we opened it up, 4 people in the auditorium, a pianist, me playing, leading the music, and a college man preaching. And we went from there to Calvary Baptist Church in Sun Prairie. The next year I served there. And then I went to Berean Baptist Church. The man became my father-in-law. I love church. I wish I could say I just had one church. And now for the last 48 years, we've been here. I don't know of a perfect church. But Jesus gave his life for the church. And when someone says, "You want to go to church?" I'm glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And when you get to God's house, there's just something about it. Brother Brian and Searcy, you know how much Miss Treeper's been working with them, and they Searcy got saved, and Brian came back to the Lord, and they just, you sit with my wife more than I sit with her, my brother. We're just so proud of you and your sweet wife. And he said tonight, he texted her, I think he texted, and my wife said, here's what he said. She goes, "I can't wait to get to church." I hope that's always there. I can't wait to get to church. I love church. I don't come as an analyst. You know, what's wrong with the singing, and what's wrong with the prelude, and what's wrong with the sound, and it's too hot in here, it's too cold. I just like going to church. And the Bible says I was glad when they said to me, "So I don't love coming to church anymore." It's not the church that's changed. Something's changing in you, and when things begin to change, check it immediately. You know, I want to tell you here, and I want you to write these things down. It's a Wednesday night Bible study. I'll give you the scripture. You can look. I'll quote it. You can write it down. I want to tell you about North Valley Baptist Church. It will be 49 years old this July. We began this church on purpose with these ingredients. One, it's a singing church. Write down Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody or harmony unto the Lord. It's a singing church. It's known as the singing church. We put out so many scores of CDs as entitled The Singing Church. We've got all these hymn books. People go to different countries in the world and they'll find our hymn books from Santa Clara, California. We have people in this church that I went to a church and I saw that hymn book and I said, I'd like to be part of a church, and they've moved here to be part of a church like this. I want you to know it's a singing church. We have these little children singing in our various ministries and the little bell choirs and all the things. Well, I want them to learn how to sing. I want them to learn how to hold a part, a harmony. And we got the high schools. Oh my goodness, how these kids sing. And we got them learning instruments for 35 years at least. We always have over 100 plus, it's probably a lot more than that, taking piano lessons. And they're taking violin lessons, and they're taking trumpet lessons and brass and all those things. Why? Because I want them to be able to be musical as God sends them out to the harvest field and they go to church. I want them to be able to sing and to play. I recall my pastor's wife. She said, we didn't have a youth pastor. Had a large youth group, and she had the choir, and she led the youth choir for us and trained us how to sing. And she said, when I graduate, that's when they required all the boys in the school to either learn trumpet or guitar. And I was wondering why they want them to learn the trumpet or guitar, and they said, because we're starting to take mission trips every year to Mexico. And on the street, you can play that and sing, and a trumpet echoes out everywhere and brings people in. And they would go every year and see people saved on the streets of Mexico, bringing people in. I want to tell you something. I want to be a singing church. I love it that you're growing up here and you sing. I love it where all of I talk to our people that have graduated from our high school or our college, here, everywhere serving God. And I say, God's using the music here. Or we need more music, or we need help. We're a singing church. You know what else we are? And by the way, singing brings joy. We're a stewardship church. Write down, if you will, 1 Corinthians 16:1-3. Now upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. God says the first day of the week, let's lay by him in store. You know, there's not a church in America that I know of that doesn't have financial needs. I don't know what the statistics are on this, but I think in the average church, more people do not give than those that do. I don't think we're the average church. I think it's the opposite. But what if it was just 25% are not tithing? Just think what we could do. It's a good place to say amen. Just think what we could do for worldwide missions. Just think what we could do to, I was telling the boys in college, Pastor Everson, you and I both are so exasperated and wearisome because we have so many opportunities, whether it's music or assistant pastor or principal. We have so many churches that have no pastor. All over America. I've got probably my list. He probably has more. Some of those are together. But I've got so many. Every few days. Here's a new one. We got a church in Pennsylvania. We have a building. We have people. They can go full time. We can't find a pastor. We need a pastor. I know a church right now, and they said, Brother Trevor, we've been talking to you for 3 years. We need a pastor. Our church was one time large. We have a 2,400-seat auditorium. We have educational rooms. We have gymnasiums. We have it all. We got about 50 people left. We can't find a pastor. We got $2 million in the bank. And I said to that pulpit committee, please don't ever tell anybody you have that. And I was being so serious. I don't want somebody to be led to God to go to help that church, to help themselves. Imagine a church with that kind of money and begging God, and they said, we have prayer meetings. God, give us a pastor. Give us a pastor. I want to tell you something, Pastor. The labors are few. I think of a few church buildings we talked about today. We missed it. We should have just taken them. In this city, about 60 miles from here, this city over here, about 60 miles, they're begging, will you just send somebody over? I'm tired of giving these buildings to other guys. You know, you might not agree with this. Dr. Lee Robertson got about 65 to 70 of those buildings, and he put some of his senior boys over there in those chapels and preach Sunday school and Sunday morning, and then they'd come into his church on Sunday night and give report. I had a church not far from here say, begging, we got a building here. We got 8 people left. I should have sent a college senior and a couple guys to go over there. We got another building that you had, just, I don't know, 10 people building. The labors are so few, ladies and gentlemen. And may it be today that here's a church, and they said, we got a small little mortgage, but we got the building. The city of about 70,000. We got a building, but we owe 24,000. You imagine if we had $24,000 just laying around, we could get that building and put some people in it. Stewardship. The next thing that makes it's a sermon church. I don't like the word sermon, but it goes the letter S. In other words, it's a preaching church. Acts 8:4, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. It's a singing church. It's a stewardship church. It's a sermon church. What are the three so far? What kind of church do we have here? It's a singing church. It's a stewardship church. Number three, it's a separated church. God does not want us like the world. 1 John 2:15. I wonder what God means when he says this. Love not the world. Well, you see, I don't mean to treat you like you're ignorant, but people, you've got to understand the Greek to understand what it means, love not the world. So because, you know, I can look these words up, I'm going to just tell you what. Let me just help you, folks. I know you have degrees and all that, but you don't know what love not the world means. So let me help you. You know what love not the world means? You know what it means? Talk to me. What does it mean? See, you're smarter than I am. You probably knew about the sycamine tree, didn't you? How many knew about the sycamine tree? Boy, I'm so smart. I knew about it before you did. Of course, I had to study it. You know, church, when God says don't love the world, this world's a mess. We have students in the college from Nebraska. That great state yesterday. Of course, all the Democrats always vote for everything abortion and transvestite, 100%. But we had some Republicans move over too. And they believe it's okay, and they voted it through, for girls to go to locker rooms with boys and shower. That is vile. That is filthy. And boys can go into the girls' locker room to shower, and girls can go in the boys' locker rooms to shower if they feel comfortable there. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is an abomination to God. And you cannot hurt one of these little children without having repercussions. They're all voting for this stuff. Well, abortion, it's a state's right. Can't we have anybody stand for life? I mean, life that God created, life, and he knew that substance before. Can we have any courageous warrior stand up and say, I believe life is at conception? Why can't we do that? I want you to see that if we're going to be what this church needs in this dark age, this dark world where a preacher would be looked at as a fool and transvestites and all this other, they're to be honored. 40-some days now we honor sodomy every year. Mr. Biden, couldn't you at least have given us Easter? You took that from us too. Transvestite Day. That's blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. We're separated. We're singing church, a stewardship church, a sermon church, a separated church, a soul winning church. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I was talking to Brother Peter. We had 12 men on the shuttle soul winning bus last week. They had 12 saved. Now, you see, that's just one of so many scores of ministries that we have out during the week. And ladies, you have many more than that on your Tuesday morning soul winning. We have all the Saturday soul winning ministries. But praise God, I want to tell you, the purpose of this church is to win the lost to Christ. Amen. Matthew 28:19-20, our Lord's last word says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're a scripture church. First Timothy, if you write it down, 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading. This book, he was talking to a local assembly, read the word of God. These things I command and teach. And he speaks about Acts 17:11, the scripture, the word of God. Sunday school teachers, and I know it took a long time by introduction to tell you about all these churches and all, but Sunday school is not games and it's not party. Sunday school is teaching the word of God. And then it's a second generation church. You've heard this for 48 years. I believe, if you want to write it down, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which thou hast heard of me, two generations already, among many faithful witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. At least four generations there, maybe five. I just believe it's generational. And I'm so thankful that we have, one time, I think we had, I know we had four generations of our family here. I think we had five when my folks were here, we were here, and our kids were here, grandkids were here, whatever it all was. But I think we still have three or four generations in here. I'm not sure. I know, Bobby, you've had four or five. And some of you have. I imagine Colonel Harder and his wife, how many generations? Four right there. And many of you have three and four generations. Well, you know what? I want to pass it down to our kids. There's no way that I desire for these buildings to be a nightclub. I don't want you to get rid of this pulpit. One day God takes me home before the rapture. This is our verse for 48 years. Then in all things he might have for him. Keep this pulpit here. Now one day if there's a different pastor, he may want a different one. He may not like this one. But keep the orchestra, keep the choir, keep the pianos. Don't bring rock and roll in here. And don't bring dance bands in here. This is church. This is God's house. And it's what's been working for so many years is our Christian school. We can't open it up to the public. We just don't have room. It's your kids. But I look, Brother Panera, 200 of our kids out of the school, our high school, and children that have graduated have gone into the ministry, 200. And 200 of our graduates are adult members in this church, and they that have kids have their kids in the school. I think of Brother John, you and Kathy, and I won't give the year which you graduated, but you graduated from a high school. And then your four kids graduated from a high school and college. And then your grandkids are in the school. How in the world, your mother Kathy is here, generational, four or whatever. How in the world did that happen where you were a basketball? I remember you playing ball, Brother John. How did it happen? He's a grandfather. It's generational. It's second generation, by the way. It's a serving church. We're out of time. Acts 20:20-19, serving the Lord. Romans 12:11, fervent in spirit, serving our Lord. The church at Rome was serving the Lord. The church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, these churches, it's a Sunday school church. 2 Timothy 2:2, it's a sending church. Acts 13, 1 through 5, and they laid hands on them and sent them forth. I love church. Amen. You could say more. I think all of you, if you've been here any length of time, say, that's what we're teaching here all the time. That's what we believe. And I don't want to weaken the church or reduce the church or attack the church. I want to support the church and strengthen the church. I want to ask deacons, I'm trying to do my best to pray and pray and pray for our church all the time. I'm trying to pray for these young couples. I'm not trying to be humorous. We have so many good college kids right now and graduates right now and our own kids that are single adults that are graduated maybe for a school and now they're 21, 22, 23, 24, 28, 29, 30. So many, I'm praying, God, send that man a good wife. Send that girl a good husband. God, may they have the joy of having a marriage that brings honor to you. I know most of our college kids are at work tonight, our own kids, but I wish some of these boys would open their eyes to these sweet, really sweet Proverbs 31 girls. There's so many that love the Lord. They just love God. They'd be good wives. They'd be good mothers. They'd be good Christians. I wish some of these girls would stop thinking, I can do better. I don't mean this rude because I'm the picture of this. There was a time I had hair. There was a time I was young and youthful. But that fellow that you think you can do better, you might age faster than he does. But we're all going to age and get old looking. But why would you miss out? Because I could do better. That's arrogant. God maybe just sent you a man of God. I want this to be a church with these ingredients tonight. And you know what the end result is? I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. It brings joy.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.